Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us tonight. I have a very special guest this evening, Raymond Aaron, who I've been blessed to have as a friend for many years now. And he does some amazing things and has had an amazing life. So we'll be talking to him in a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. A number of years ago, I got this hit that we really only get three sacred gifts when we're born, when we get this life. One of them is life, which comes with a body, which is physical matter, and there isn't a whole lot of physical matter in the universe. This is a very special experience that we have. And along with being in space-time and being physical, you also get time, linear time that we experience. And again, that's a very unusual thing in this universe. And we bring with us our personality and, if you want to call it karma, you know, whatever it is that we want to do. The second gift that we get is the ability to manifest things into reality, the ability to create what we want based on our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, what motivates us, where we take the energy that we call our life. And there's a lot of conversation about the law of attraction, and I talk about it some of the time as well. But the third one is really the one that I'm totally fascinated with. And the third gift is free will. It's the ability to make choices. And so much of life is other people telling us who to be, how to do things, what little box to fit into, and what's okay. What do you really want to do? And most people don't really spend a whole lot of their time or energy thinking about what they want to do, what their choices are. And if you think about free will, either free will is real and true or it's not. And if it is, then everything is choice. Everything is choice. That means even before you came into physical reality, before you were born, you made choices about who you were going to be, about who your parents were going to be, about what kind of a community you were going to be born into and what options you were going to have. And at every stage throughout your life, we're making choices. Whether we're conscious of them or not, doesn't matter whether you're conscious of them, but you make choices that steer things in a certain direction. Some people start getting conscious about what they choose and making conscious choices. That's when the law of attraction really works. But most people are being manipulated, dragged, cajoled, being told what's okay, who they should be, where they should be, what you should be doing at this point in your life, how you should be acting, all the things that we get told. You know, if you watch enough TV, basically you're being molded to a set of expectations. And if you look at what's going on TV, that level of expectations is dropping. You know, reality TV and most of the situation comedies at this point are about rudeness being funny and people behaving badly, basically for money. You know, reality TV is people who are already misbehaving being put in a situation where they can misbehave for money. So, you know, you can watch that stuff and it will kind of subtly mold your mind and tell you you should act this way. Or you can decide who you want to be and what you want to put into your head and start looking at what your choices are. And as soon as you look at life from that perspective of free will is a gift, and the ability to create from your free will is a gift, things really start to change. So I encourage you to take a look at that. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing, and I kept it short because I'm really excited to talk to our guest tonight. Raymond Aaron is extremely well known in his own country, Canada, but he's well known all over North America. We'll talk a little bit about why he's so well known. And I think I'll just introduce him and we'll start letting him explain all that. Raymond, so good to have you tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, so always fun. We don't get to hang out very much, and it's always fun to talk to you at all. So this is going to be a wonderful evening for me. So we were talking for a couple of minutes as we were setting up the show, and I want to hear more about what you're doing, and maybe you can give people a little introduction to your work and all the things that you've put together that help people. But then I want to talk a little bit about your life story, which is one of the things that I don't think really gets told when you do your other things. And it's the core of what I like to do on this program is have people understand that it took a lot to get whoever we're talking to was doing amazing things. It took a lot to get there. So why don't you give us a little bit of background? Because most people are not going to be familiar with you, and you've done all kinds of interesting things, and you have wonderful programs.
Okay. Well, my name is Raymond Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. And basically, if I had to summarize everything I do in one sentence, I teach you how to double your income doing what you love. Double your income doing what you love. In fact, my most recent bestseller, hardcover, published by John Wiley out of New York, is of that very title, Double Your Income, Doing What You Love. And my two previous books were two chicken soup books that were huge bestsellers. One was Chicken Soup for the Parent Soul, which hit New York Times Top 10. And the other was Chicken Soup for the Canadian Soul, which was the number one best-selling nonfiction book in Canada every week for 6 months after its release. And I've also been in the who's who every year for the last 20 years. And all of that is because I help so many people create wealth doing what they love. I write books. I hold workshops around the world. I teach in Dubai, England, Ireland, right across Canada, the United States, and in Australia and New Zealand. And I'm known as a person who lives up to my word, delivers great value, and holds great workshops around around the whole world. I'm on a world tour right now, my final world tour, and then I settle down a bit. I just got married, and I'm beyond happy. I've had some trial marriages, and now I found the one, and she is such a blessing that I hate to be away from her. And that's basically what I'm doing now.
Well, tell people also about the wonderful seminars that you put on all over North America, where you bring in some of the most well-known mentors, you know, all the big names that people will know.
Well, I'm holding a series of world tour right now, and we brought in such dignitaries as Stedman Graham, the, I hate to say Oprah's boyfriend because he hates that designation. He's such a distinguished person in his own right, and unfortunately, the poor guy is known as Oprah's boyfriend for the rest of his life. I've also brought in Kevin Harrington, the star of Shark Tank, and later next month, I'm bringing in Rudy Giuliani, the world's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and Michael Gerber, who created the E-Myth. I brought in Brian Mulroney, who was the previous Prime Minister of Canada. Brian Tracy, I'm bringing him into my clients this coming weekend. Donnie Deutsch, who's got the hit New York show, The Big Idea. J. Conrad Levinson, one of the greatest minds in marketing in the entire world, and you know, so many other huge luminaries. And I do it because I know that people enjoy my teaching, and when they come, I want them to have a little extra zip. And so I teach you how to have your business working harder for you than you work for it. I teach you how to earn more money in 1 month than you earned all last year. I teach you not how to change what you're doing, but how to change what you're doing does. I talk about the distinction between transformational change and transactional change. I teach people, ordinary small business people, the value of branding. They know that Heinz and BMW and Apple Computers and Google have brands and Nike has a swoosh, but they don't really know how they can take that concept down to their level. And so you don't know this. I've just received this honor, and that is, you know, the For Dummies series of books?
Yep.
Well, I've just been granted the very significant honor of being allowed to produce a For Dummies book, and mine will be Branding Small Business for Dummies.
Great. That's terrific.
Yeah, and I may well be the only person in the world who will have ever done a For Dummies book and a chicken soup book.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting the information about your world tour. I saw a little bit about it in the emails that you sent out.
But, you know, I want to give a gift right at the beginning to your listeners. And
okay.
That is, I would like you to come to my seminars held in New Zealand, Australia, right across Canada, the United States, and in England at no charge. And all you do is go to Top One Mastermind, T-O-P and the number one, top1mastermind.com, and you can see all of the superstars that I'm bringing in, and you can see all the things that I'm going to be teaching, and it's absolutely no charge. This is my giving back tour. The world has been so good to me. I'm in abundant health. I'm fit. I jog. I have positive thinking. I've got a gorgeous home. Deer come up to my back window. At least that's what the realtor said when we bought it. We've been here 2 years and haven't seen any yet. But I'm sure, David, that you could move some energy around and have some deer come to our back window for us.
Well, I haven't cleared your house in a while. I did that after your wedding.
Oh, do you have to clear the house or do you have to clear the deer?
Usually the deer will come into a space that's been cleared.
Oh, so. I see. It's a pull, not a push.
Right.
Didn't realize that. So your clients, your dear listeners, can come as my guest, top1mastermind.com. And there is, I have to confess, there is a seat deposit, but it's fully refundable, completely fully refundable. We don't want your seat deposit. We want you. And what we noticed is people too casually say that they come and then they don't show up.
Right.
And, you know, we make a name tag for them. We reserve seats for them. We buy goodies for them. We have gifts for them. And they don't show up thinking that their attendance doesn't matter. But psychically, it does matter. Like, we care about them. And we know their names because we prepare their name tags. They don't show up. So we found that having a very, very small seat deposit wakes people up to the consciousness that they count. They matter. And the funny thing is, you know, David, they would say that Raymond has to show up, but they somehow feel that they don't need to show up. And I think that's a significant reason why they're not as wealthy as they want to be. And you and I know that one of the prerequisites to creating wealth is simply just showing up. Just showing up, especially when it's difficult. Just showing up. Like all my staff always shows up to workshops, and all the high-priced speakers that I bring in, they always show up. It's only the audience that half shows up. And so the seat deposit cures that. Everybody shows up, and now it's wonderful. Everybody is in total integrity again. So there's no charge at all. Tiny seat deposit is fully refunded. And that's it. Come and see me. Go to Top One World Tour, or sorry, Top One Mastermind, and just look around. Choose the city that's near you. And if you don't see one, just leave your name, and we'll alert you when there's another event near you.
Thanks so much, Raymond. That's an extremely generous thing. I had no idea you were going to do that. So I hope there are lots of listeners that can take advantage of that.
But even if there aren't, I got another gift that I'm going to spring on you later. And this one, there's not a penny of anything. It's just an absolutely free gift, no string attached, no nothing. But I'm just going to let your listeners drool a bit before I spring the next surprise on
You're
them.
Good. You're so good at that. So I've never heard your life story, how you got where you are, which is
okay. It's really
both in terms of what you're doing, and I want to talk about your Arctic adventure also, which is part of that whole story. But
okay.
My life story has
some really interesting lessons for everybody, and that is I started as a math nerd, and I thought that math was all of life, and so I didn't understand girls, I didn't understand social protocol. I just love to be a math nerd. And so I went through university and I graduated as a physicist, and I got some pretty high income jobs. solving giant problems for huge corporations and for government. And after 17 years, I got fired from my job. I was 50 pounds overweight. I was sick. I came home and told my wife that I'd lost my job, which I didn't like anyways, and I was sick and fat. She asked me what my plan was. I told her I didn't have one. So she did the only thing a reasonable woman could do. She dumped me. And there I was at 39 years old. I'd just been dumped by my wife and my employer on the same day. I was fat and sick, and I was $100,000 in debt, and I had nothing. I did the only thing that 39-year-old losers know what to do, and that is I called my mother. Otherwise, I would have been homeless. And I was moping around in depression when I met a coach. And the coach said he would take me on. I didn't even know what that meant. And he said, "What do you want most?" I said, "I don't even want anything. I'm so depressed. I can't even imagine anything." He says, "Okay, I'll give you something. I'll give you a goal." I was actually hoping for more than that, but that's what he gave me. And the goal he gave me was out of debt in 1 year. I said to him, "Are you crazy? When I work at a pretty high salary, I go further into debt every year. And now you're expecting me, depressed with $100,000 of debt and no income, to get out of debt and do it all in 1 year? Are you crazy?" He said, "Do you want it or not?" So I borrowed the money from my mother and I joined his program. And in 1 year, age 40, I was out of debt for the first time in my adult life. And I said to him, "Sir, I don't know what you got, but I never want to have anything but a coached life from now on." He said, "Good, good. What do you want now?" And I said, I don't know. Can you recommend something?" He says, "Yeah, millionaire in a year." Said, "Are you crazy?" He said, "That's what you said last year." I said, "I know, but I've only been out of debt for 3.5 minutes. Like, give me a break." He says, "Do you want a break or do you want to be a millionaire?" I said, "All right, sign me up." And within a year, age 41, I was a millionaire for the first time in my adult life, and I've never looked back. And that's the story. And it is all based on doing what I loved. Because when he told me that I could get out of debt in a year, he also said that you have to do what you love, that you can't just work hard or do some drudgery thing to become a millionaire in a year. It is required that you do what you love. And I said, "If I do what I love, I'll make less money." And he said, "That's what every broke person thinks. But every wealthy person, if you talk to them, you find out they're doing only what they love. So broke people don't like what they do, and wealthy people are doing what they love. And yet broke people who aren't earning much money think they're going to get a cut in pay when they do what they love. But everyone who does what they love is wealthy." I said, "Okay, I got to do what I love." And my parents at that time were going on a trip to Mexico. And I went with them because they agreed to pay because I had nothing. And I was sitting on a Mayan ruin in the middle of the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. And you may not know the name. It's called Chichen Itza. But if you see the picture, you'll recognize it. It's a pyramid. Mm-hmm. It's the only pyramid that's a Mayan ruin. Have you heard of it, David?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure your listeners, even if they don't know the name, they have seen the picture. I was sitting on top of that Mayan ruin. By the way, you can't sit on top of it now, not since 9/11, but at that time you could. And I got a message, you can say, from God, from my heart, from spirit, from the universe. I don't know the noun it came from, but I know I got the message. And the message was, "Raymond, you're a teacher." And I didn't like the message because I thought teacher meant a high school physics teacher, and high school teachers earn, I don't know, $60,000 a year, and I wanted to earn $60,000 a week. And so I decided I would argue with God, which turned out didn't work very well. And so I gave in and said, all right, I'll be a teacher. And I became a teacher, and I absolutely love it to this day, and that was 28 years ago. That was May of 1983, the turning point of my life, when I got a message that said, "Raymond, you're a teacher." I'd never taught before. I didn't have a teacher certificate. I didn't have a letter of recommendation from anybody. I didn't have a testimonial, nothing. It's like saying, "David, you should be a dentist." I mean, it was just like out of the blue. And I became a teacher, not a high school teacher. I became a teacher in hotel rooms, teaching what I knew, teaching the wisdom that I had learned over the years. And people paid for it. They wanted my wisdom. And I've been doing that. I've been traveling around the world for just shy of 3 decades. Just a couple months ago, I gave my 5,000th speech my 5,000th speech.
Wow.
And it all came from doing what I love, from getting that message and obeying that message. I also listen to my dreams because I believe dreams are a message to you, like to your head, to your brain, from your soul. Every part of your body has a purpose, like your elbow and your nose and your teeth. Well, every religion believes you have a soul. So let's say you do have a soul, and let's say every part of you has a purpose, then therefore you have a soul and it has a purpose. Well, what is it? And my belief is that the purpose of your soul is to protect you and talk to you and guide you and give you messages. And they're not called messages typically. They're called dreams or hunches or woman's intuition or beginner's luck or a bright insight I got when I showered. But that's when you're quiet and still, and therefore you can receive those subtle messages. And one day I got a message that I've actually never said in public. I'm doing this for you. I had this dream 10 years ago, and I've never told anyone because if it's not taken in the right light, it seems very pompous. So I know that your listeners can handle this, and so I'm trusting. And that is, I was in a parking lot, and there was a lineup of people in front of me, about 10 feet in front of me, and in turn, each person in the front of the line would walk towards me and ask God a question. I wasn't God, but they would walk up to me and ask God a question. And after a few people had done this, one person said, "Why are we asking God a question talking to you?" And I pointed to my car, which was standing right beside me in the parking lot, mm-hmm. and I said, "My car phone is call forwarded to God." And they said, "Oh, okay." And apparently that was good enough for them. And they kept asking questions of God standing beside me in my car. And what I take that dream to mean is absolutely not that I'm God or the Pope or anything like that, but rather that through me comes God's work. And not any different than through David Farkas comes God's work, and through Joe everybody, and Sally every gal is God's work. But people typically don't listen to the subtlety of that message. They rather listen to their guidance counselor saying they should be a nurse, or their father saying they should be a lawyer, or the practicalities of life saying you have to pay your rent. And so they just take a job and they drown out the messages. And the message that I have to your listeners is, don't you dare drown that out. You've got one life this lifetime. I believe in reincarnation, but in any case, what all religions believe is that you have one life this lifetime. And if you're going to have one life this lifetime, it might as well be a blessing to you and everyone around you. And so I encourage you to listen and be silent, either meditate or intend a dream when you lie down at night, and also intend that you'll understand it, and then write them down in the morning and interpret them the best you can. I have recorded over 800 dreams. And I have analyzed them the best I can, knowing that it's not intended to be a secret from me. It's intended to be a somewhat metaphorical message, that it's my opportunity and obligation to interpret the best I can. And since it's from me, or from my soul, or from the spark of God that is me, then it's not intended to be a secret from me. It's intended to be interpretable. And so I Right. take it that way. And so that's what I believe, and that's why for the last 28 years my life has been such a blessing, is because I listened to that message on top of that pyramid.
That, you know, it always amazes me when people tell what really changed their life, and it's this kind of, oh, this moment I knew something was different.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing story. And obviously it happened in a very powerful spot. So thank you so
True.
Much for sharing that.
And after 12 years of teaching real estate, I got another message saying I was supposed to teach life. And I walked into my office the next morning, scared out of my mind, David, scared beyond what you could imagine, because I had real estate courses lined up twice a month for the next 6 months. And I was monetizing them. I was teaching people, and they were learning, and they were buying real estate and making money. And I was also making money in real estate and also making money in my real estate workshops.
Right.
And I came into my staff the next morning and said, cancel every workshop. I don't care how many people have already registered and paid for it. I'm not doing them any longer. I'm teaching life. They were scared for their jobs. I was scared for my business. They asked me questions like, do you have any clients? I said, no. They said, do you have an agenda for life? Like at 9:01 a.m. on Saturday morning of a two-day life workshop, what are you going to teach? I said, I don't know. And they were frightened. I was frightened.
And you're going to tell us the rest of that in a minute, but we have to go to a break.
Okay.
Stay with us. We're going to have more exciting stories from Raymond Aaron here on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle. Dot, dot, dot. JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? Question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at your boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Fire at the Shed.
Gee, Johnny, this rope swing sure is swell.
Don't I know it.
Hey, it's Sassy.
I think she's trying to tell us something.
Mr. Gunderson? What about Mr. Gunderson? A fire? Mr. Gunderson's trapped?
Where, Sassy? Where?
What, Sassy? Now that you've got our attention, you'd like to take a moment to talk about shelter pets? Shelter pets in general are well-adjusted, healthy, and love being with people?
Sassy, we don't have time!
Pets often end up in shelters due to owner problems like divorce or allergies?
That's great, Sassy, but what about the fire?
There is no fire! You're just messing with our heads?
Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Shelter Pet Project.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent. Brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Raymond Aaron. And Raymond was just in the middle. I'm sorry we had to interrupt your story. But before we pick up the thread again, I want to give the call-in number in the hopes that we have some people with questions or comments. That number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Give us a call. So when last seen, Raymond had just listened to his intuition and completely changed his business.
And it worked. And as a result, I got a call one day from Jack Canfield, who said, I hear you're doing wonderful things. I'm forming an organization called the Transformational Leadership Council, and it's for people basically who are teaching giant life lessons and making a huge contribution in the world. And if I was still teaching a real estate course, he wouldn't have given me that call. And
right.
I wouldn't have written the chicken soup books, and I mean, the whole world changed because of it. And so I'm now absolutely dedicated to listening to my soul, being quiet and hearing what the messages are. And when they come in, I follow them, as weird as they seem.
Well, I know that you've set a number of challenges for yourself, and this one may have come from a weird intuition as well. But you took on the challenge of being part of a race across the Arctic to the North Pole.
Yes, that was the toughest thing I ever did. It's called Polar Race, and it's a 350-mile, month-long foot race to the North Pole, leaving from Resolute Bay, which is the northernmost human settlement in North America. The average temperature is minus 40 degrees, and I haven't even got to the danger yet. The danger is polar bears. Polar bears are the largest land carnivore. They weigh as much as a small car, and they run faster than any human has ever run. I suffered frostbite. My eyeballs got sunburned. My thumb cracked right open, right to my bone, because the Arctic is a desert and is completely dry. I was so exhausted that I was eating 50 chocolate bars a day to keep my energy up. 50, David. 50 chocolate bars a day. That's in addition to a double breakfast and a double dinner in the tent. 50 chocolate bars a day, and I was losing a pound a day because the strain on my body was so intense. I was racing for 10 to 14 hours a day, hauling a 100-pound sled for 350 miles, dodging polar bears at minus 40 degrees, and I got to the North Pole when I was 62 years old.
Yeah, it was totally amazing. As you recall, Raymond, I was tracking you on the system that the Polar Race provided and doing healings on you every day. So I had a sense of what was going on with you as it went along. It was totally incredible.
Well, thank you. I must have received your warmth and help, because there were times that were so intolerable that I called race headquarters and begged to be let out of the race. It was just so difficult. And the race organizer kept saying the same thing to me. He said, Raymond, I will get everyone safely to the North Pole. And you know what? That's another lesson for everybody. Make sure you have people around you who are wise and sincere and comforting, not typical friends who will just do a woe is me with you, like, oh, I've got this terrible flu, and they say, oh, isn't that terrible? I mean people who will stand up for you. Like when a colleague says to me they've had a flu and they broke their arm and their wife left them, I don't say, oh, my God, that's horrible, let's have a beer. I say to them, what lesson did you learn? The universe wouldn't bash you on the head three times unless it wanted you to learn a big lesson.
Right.
And so, man, when I was out there hurting, I was saying, what's the lesson from this? I wasn't saying, woe is me. And I got to the North Pole. And I found out a day later that I got to the North Pole on the day that my mother died. She was in a wheelchair, and she had had a stroke 3 years before, so she couldn't speak and she couldn't move. But she understood little things, and I think she understood that I was engaged in this crazy race to the North Pole. And it's as if she stayed alive. It's as if she stayed alive till the day I got to the North Pole to take care of me.
Right, so she knew you were safe.
My mom was taking care of me. David was sending me healing energy. And I had just some miraculous experiences. There was one day, I think it was the fifth day, where I couldn't believe it. I got out of the tent, I broke tent, and I was racing, hauling that sled, and everything was slow motion. I started at 6 in the morning, and I raced and raced and raced, and I looked at my watch, and it was 6:03. It had been 3 minutes. That's crazy. 3 minutes? And then I said, okay, I'll go up and down a chessboard. And chessboards are numbered from 1 to 8 across, and then the letters A to H, I think, upwards. And I was going A1, A2, A3, and then B1, B2. I was going up and down to the left and right and up and down. I look at my watch. It was like 6:07. I'm saying, what? This day's never going to end. This is going to be horrible. And my dog who had passed away about 5 years before, came to me in my mind. And I asked him for help. I asked my dog for help. And then my father, who had passed away just before polar race came to me in my mind, and I asked my dad for help. And I started talking to my dad and my dog, and I said, look, I can get to the North Pole. I'm strong. I can get to the place where we're going to make camp tonight. But my mind is going at a snail's pace. I'm going insane inside my head because it's going too slowly. And I was talking to them. I looked at my watch. It was noon.
Mm-hmm.
6 hours had just sped by in what I thought was a brief conversation. And so I turned to my partner, and we had an agreement that we stop every 2 hours for an 8-minute break. And I said to him, why didn't you stop me? And he said he's never seen me move as strongly and as steadfastly and with such incredible focus that he didn't even say a word to me. He just kept behind me and watched me. He said, I never stumbled. I never paused. I was just moving relentlessly forward. And it was my dad and my dog. So I had just miraculous experiences doing that insane polar race.
Well, that phenomenon of time slowing down is pretty common. It happens in emergencies. It also happens in meditation and some other spiritual experiences. But I got to talk to a Coast Guard rescue swimmer, the guys that jump out of helicopters to swim to people that need to be rescued in high seas.
Yeah.
And I said, how frequently do you experience that time slowing down thing? He said, every time we go out of the plane, we depend on it. It gives us more time to work.
They depend on it?
They depend on the fact that they can see everything in slow motion, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to figure out what to do. Their reaction time would be too slow.
Wow.
They've gotten used to working in that. So you
so
get into it.
They can actually call on miracles. They can expect miracles.
Right.
Oh.
Right. Well, they know that they will be in a state of hyper-focus,
right,
which is part of what brings that on. And it becomes the way that they work, is
Tony
to be
Robbins
that.
Tony Robbins said, if a miracle happens within 10 miles of you, take credit for it.
Well, those guys definitely depend on miracles, because what they do is outrageous. But he heard me speaking, and I often mention this when I talk about other things. And I said, you know, you've got to experience this at least part of the time. And he said, all the time, all the time.
Now, I promised I would give a gift, so mm-hmm. I'm just going to remind everyone listening what the gift was that I gave in the first segment, and then give an absolutely amazing gift in this segment right now. In the first segment, I said you can come to any event in my world tour. It's a 2-day or a 3-day event with huge guest speakers where I teach you how to brand yourself, how to dramatically increase your income, but do it in a holistic and an evolved way, and doing what you love. And you just go to top1mastermind.com, come up to me personally and say you're a friend or a colleague or an acquaintance of Dave Farkas, and I'll take really good care of you, as David knows I would. top1mastermind.com. As I said, a small deposit, but it's fully refundable when you arrive. But the other gift I want to say is when you go to my own website, aaron.com, A-A-R-O-N, A-A-R-O-N, go to aaron.com. And my book, my $25 hardcover book, Double Your Income, Doing What You Love, you can download it for free. No charge whatsoever, no strings attached, no shipping charge, no nothing. Just giving it away as a gift to you, because I'm so happy to be associated with David Farkas, and I'm so grateful for where I am in my life that I just love giving back.
And that's a wonderful book. I have that book, and I read it over and over again. It's got incredible insights into it and really practical stuff. So anybody who's going, no, this is really nuts and bolts, great information.
So, yeah, it's a hardcover published by John Wiley out of New York City, and it was a bestseller. In the first chapter of the book, you learn how to deposit $1,000 into your savings account every month, and you learn how to take an exotic prepaid vacation, a one-week vacation every month, the rest of your life. And I mean it. That's the guarantee of the first chapter, and there's 10 chapters of the book. And it's no charge. Go anyways and get it, even if you don't believe it. It's free.
Right. Wonderful book, and thank you. That's an incredible gift. Really appreciate you doing that. So let's give out the phone number one more time, just in case there's someone sitting there going, what was that phone number? 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. So, yeah, I just sharing my version of your story. I was in a training room and something happened that as a shaman I needed to clean up, and I couldn't quite get everything cleaned up using my usual set of tools. And part of the shamanic experience is you ask, okay, what now? What do I need to know now? And a voice I'd never heard before laughed at me and said, oh, we see you're ready for your mission now. To which my immediate response was, oh, not that again.
Initiations sometimes are painful.
Exactly, exactly. And I was given a whole different way of seeing things, a whole different set of skills in that moment, which have led to being able to do certain parts of my work that I couldn't do before. So it was a major turning point. Well, thank you for sharing all the stuff about the Arctic trip, because that was incredible. And I know you trained for that for, 2 years, I think.
Trained for 2 years, 1 hour to 10 hours a day. And my typical way of training was to go up and down stairs because the Arctic is flat. I was basically racing on polar ice because I was mostly on the Arctic Ocean. And I reasoned that walking upstairs would be something like walking on the level hauling a sled.
Right.
So first day, I put on my running shoes, and I walked up a flight and a half of stairs and sat down and panted for a few minutes. I said, oh, man, I got a long way to go, David. And then after a few weeks, I was able to get right to the penthouse of my 10-story condo building. And I could go further, but I didn't know how to get down. I didn't want to walk to the other side of the building to take the elevator down. Right. So I ran down, and then I ran back up again. And after a couple months, I was able to do 100 flights of stairs, 100 flights up and 100 flights down. In other words, I went from the parking garage up to the penthouse and down a total of 10 times. And then I was able to do it so fast that I could get it done in 24 minutes, just racing up and down. And just before I congratulated myself, I said, you know what? Polar race is not a 24-minute race. I said, exactly. I better do 300 flights of stairs up and 300 down every day. And I said, oh, Raymond, I wish you hadn't have said that. And darn it, I started doing 300 almost every day. It took 2 hours and 1 minute. I did that several days a week. And then one day, about 2 months before polar race, I said, but you know what? It's not a two-hour race. I wonder if I could do 1,000 flights of stairs. And David, I spent the next week trying to forget that I said that sentence. It would not leave my mind. And so one day, it was Sunday at 4 p.m., I said, uh-oh, this is it. And I put on my running shoes and my little shorts, and I took a clipboard and a pen, and I went to the stairwell, and every time I went up and down, so that would be 10 flights of stairs, I'd write down the time and 10, and then the time and 20, and the time and 30. Because the last thing you want to do when you're doing 1,000 flights of stairs is say, am I at 684 stairs or 846 stairs? You don't want to be doing that in the middle of the night. And I kept track of it, and I watched my times, and I didn't know if it would take me a week. I mean, I had no idea. And after a while, I said, you know, I think I can do this in 24 hours. And then I said, I think I can do this in 12 hours. And I pushed and pushed and pushed. Remember, I'm 61 years old. I pushed and I did not stop, David. I did not stop until I finished 9 hours and 51 minutes. I did 1,000 flights of stairs up and 1,000 flights of stairs down.
And then you knew you were ready.
Oh, man. On the day that I left to go up to the starting line, my sister held a goodbye party for me and invited all my family. And one of my cousins, Cousin Deb, said to me, like she grabbed me on my shoulders and looked me straight in the eyes and said, are you sure you're ready? And I said, how do I know? I've never raced the North Pole before. How can I possibly know? And that's not the comfort she wanted, but I couldn't do any better.
Right, right.
And I made it. I made it. No, you know what? 160 people have crossed the Atlantic Ocean in a rowboat, and 400 people have been to outer space. 2,000 climbers have conquered Everest, and 5,000 runners have broken the four-minute mile. But in all of human history, only several dozen people have ever reached the North Pole by foot, and I'm one of them.
Right, right. It's an amazing achievement. And it's inspiring to me. I had a hip replacement almost exactly 2 months ago, and I'm just now going back to the gym. And I can do 10 minutes on the bike and 10 minutes on the elliptical, which doesn't seem like much, except I couldn't walk a month ago.
Right.
And you know, I think of, okay, it's just one foot in front of the other. You do a little bit, you get better next time. And you get more and more and more, and you gain more strength. And, you know, remembering your story of where you started and what it took to get ready.
And, you know, what you said is more important than what I said. It's not about racing to the North Pole. My goodness, the North Pole doesn't need hordes of people going there. It's about choosing your dream, no matter how outrageous it is, and going for it. And doing 10 minutes on an elliptical a month after hip replacement, or cleaning your desk, or telling your boss you're going to quit to start a business, or apologizing to your wife, they're all tough things that some people just give up on and don't do, and other people stoke up that courage and they do it. That's what my life is about, and that's what your life is about, David. I know that, about being a model to others.
Thank you. Wonderful to hear that from you. There are days when I can see that, and there are other days I'm going, what am I doing? How did I get here, and what am I doing? And obviously the stuff I do is not what most people do, but, there are certainly ways in which there are profound changes going on, and it's always a challenge. Mm-hmm. Always a challenge. So what's the one takeaway you want to give people besides your wonderful gifts? What's the thought that you would like to leave them with tonight?
You know what? Out of respect for what I learned from you, David, I would like to say something that I learned from you, and that is one of my favorite quotes, which I heard from you, is that snowmen fall to earth unassembled. Mm. I love that quote because the metaphor is just so profound. What it means to me is that anyone can see snow when it's snowing, but children see snowmen. And what do adults see? They see traffic jams. They see sore backs, even if they haven't shoveled the snow yet. And I encourage my clients to see those snowmen, to look beyond what everybody sees and see what you can create. Notice what is lacking in the world and go fill it. Muhammad Yunus noticed that women in India were keen. They wanted something for themselves, and they only needed like a dollar or a few dollars in order to buy a sewing machine or a bicycle in order to launch some business. And so he started what is now called microloans, and he gave hundreds of millions of dollars worth of microloans. And without anything written down on paper, without checking credit worthiness, he never had a single default. Never. From hundreds of millions of dollars. Right. At like $1 and $10 at a time. Because he tapped into something that was missing. And he was able to mobilize an army of millions and millions of women in typically rural India. He saw a need and he filled it. Well, you don't have to win a Nobel Prize and be Muhammad Yunus. You don't have to work in the back streets of Calcutta and win a Nobel Prize like Mother Teresa. But what is it that you can do that is either entrepreneurial or charity-based? What is it that you can do in your job that isn't being done? What is it that your employer's clients need? What is it that your clients need? What hole is there in the marketplace that you can fill? What snowmen can you see where others just see snow? What empowerment can you bring to the world where others just see unpleasantness? Like everybody says, oh, in America, there's double-digit inflation and double-digit chronic unemployment. And, you know, they're complaining and complaining and complaining. And they're saying, Obama used to be good, but now he's failed us. And there's the threat of terrorism. And, you know, everyone is saying all these things, which, you know, maybe they're true. But why don't you look at Apple computers? They're not buying into the macroeconomy. They're creating their own microeconomy. And the most profound statement I've ever heard of creating wealth and abundance and value for other people, regardless of what the macroeconomy is doing, is 11 days ago, the Wall Street Journal published an article that said that the U.S. Federal Reserve has in its bank account $80 billion. And Apple Computers has in its savings account $85 billion. Steve Jobs has in his company bank account more than the entire U.S. government, more than the country. So let the bad macroeconomy news go. Let it go. Don't buy into it. I don't care how real the massive unemployment is. I don't care. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying it doesn't have to beat you down. It doesn't have to rule your life. If I'm at a party and someone says the economy's crappy, isn't it? I say, excuse me, I need a beer. And if I'm captured, like if I'm sitting in a barber's chair and the hairstylist starts complaining about the weather, I say, oh, excuse me, there's a Time magazine there. There's an article I need to read because I don't want to be around that negativity. Right. I'm probably the wealthiest Canadian who does not own a television because I'm not interested. And by the way, if a major thing happens like 9/11 or Kennedy's assassination, I typically find out about it.
Right. Right.
I didn't
have a TV for years, and my deal with God was if anything important happens, have someone tell me. So I totally
That's good.
You know, you just have to know what your real source of information is. So Raymond, thank you so much. I would love to do this again because the conversations are always wonderful, and I'll be in touch about some other things soon. And thank you so much for the gifts that you've offered the listeners. Is it okay for us to put those up on the Empower Radio website so that people have that information?
Yep. Aaron.com for a free Double Your Income, Doing What You Love book, and top1mastermind.com for a no-charge admission to a workshop, a 2 or 3 day professional workshop where there's nothing sold. It's not a pitch fest, David. It's 2 and 3 days of real teaching with me and usually a high-powered guest like Rudy Giuliani or Stedman Graham. Some huge superstar like that.
Well, I'm going to see if I can get there. I haven't looked at the site to see what's close. So
please, but if you come, then you need to put me high up on your hug card.
Absolutely. You kidding? Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to close here. Don't leave. I want to talk to you after we go off the air. Everybody, please go to top1mastermind.com and check out Raymond's world tour, his finale, and go to aaron.com, aaron.com, for the book download. And if you're interested in my work, you can find information about that at househealing.com, househealing, although I do a whole lot more than that. I work with people, business, strange situations, and even travel problems. So there's a lot of information on the site. Check it out. Next, what was I just going to say? I get into these things and I lose it. Do you ever have that happen to you?
You're probably going to say next week on our show.
Something like that, yeah. Next week on our show, we're going to have my good friend and colleague Maggie Landman from Australia. who calls herself an Earth Whisperer. She's the most clairvoyant person I've ever met. She does incredible work. It's very similar to mine. And we had the pleasure of getting together a few years ago and cross-training each other. So we get together on Skype periodically and work on our really mysterious projects together. So Maggie, we figured out a way to record her when it's nighttime here and morning the next day in Australia. So Maggie's going to be with us next week. That's going to be great fun. So please be with us.
Can actually be on the phone or just psychically connect?
We do that too. I can tell you some funny stories about that when we see each other. So please join us next week. Same time, same station on Empower Radio. This is David Franklin Farkas with the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. Good night, folks. Thanks so much, Raymond.
My pleasure.